Hi, King John. She's busy. She's sending me videos over there. You know, she didn't know where I was because I disappeared in the back. You know, I got here at 9 o'clock. I was watching you and Dave do your thing, and then I always pop into the Bob Collins room.
Ah, the late and great Bob Collins, our legendary morning man.
Longtime family friend. I remember February 8th, 2000. Never forget that date.
You were a family friend of the Collins, or the Collins of you?
Big time.
I did not know your connection to Mr. Bob.
Big time. Big time. Yeah. So he was an icon for many, many years. So it's strange for me. I met him when I was 5 years old or something like that. And to be sitting in the Bob Collins conference room.
I remember the first time I saw Bob Collins, and I was just in awe. It was at Taste of Chicago. WGN Radio was broadcasting from a booth on Michigan Avenue, so they had a stage set up, and there was a sea of people there to watch Bob Collins talk. Ah! And I thought, man, that guy, he's got it down.
That laugh.
It was a great laugh. It was, you know, I will say this. We don't have to talk about Bob Collins a lot here, although he deserves every minute of reflection we give him. But he was genuine. There was not a pretentious bone in that man's body. When he was on the radio, you thought, I am getting 100% of who this guy is, and he's a nice, fun guy. And smart, and had a great laugh. Great laugh. Huh. Yeah. So what else is going on?
Thanksgiving tomorrow. Oh, yes. I mean, are you nuts? Football, eating, drinking, napping all day.
So are all the none of the games are canceled? We're all set to go?
No, have you realized the NFL always finds a way to make it work?
It's always the, what is it, the Cowboys and the Lions?
It started in Detroit. The first Thanksgiving game in Detroit was 1934. They've been playing pretty much every year. There were a couple years, 1 or 2 years, where they didn't have the game in Detroit. But pretty much every year since 1934 in Detroit and 1966, a home game for the Cowboys in Dallas.
Hmm. Are there other games? So what is the lineup for tomorrow?
You've got Texans at the Lions in the morning. Texans -3 at points bet. Football team, not the Redskins, football team at Cowboys -3.
I've heard that. I've noticed they say that. The how do they just say
Washington
it?
Football team.
The Washington football team. Because are they still the R word?
No. That's their name now. It's Washington football team.
No.
You are so far behind on this.
Seriously? They haven't come up with anything other than that?
Dead serious.
Is that what they want, or is that just because they haven't figured it out yet?
I think they're going to try to make it permanent.
The Washington football team.
Yes.
Okay, fine. So the Washington football team is playing who again?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Or the Dallas football team. And the final game is the Baltimore football team at the Pittsburgh football team. Ravens at the Steelers. This is a fun bet. PointsBet has a grand salami. A grand salami is total points for the whole day.
Okay.
So all three games.
139.5.
Yep. Over or under.
Well, it's been a... Okay, I'll take the over on that.
Oh, that was very quick.
Well, 40-40-40 gets you to 120.
That's not enough, King.
I just need 20 more points over three games, and I think each game is going to put up 40 points because that's the way the NFL has been.
I might just take the under because that is such flawed logic. I might just fade King John. I might just go the other way.
Why is that flawed?
Well, because you said 40-40-40.
That's 120.
Right.
Then I only need 20 more to get to 139.5.
That's why you like the over?
Well, because I think that in most NFL games, they'll put up an average of at least 40 points. So 40-40-40, 120.
Right. The total in the three games, 51 in the first, 46 in the second, 44 in the third. So the number is a little bit higher, but then, of course, the books will shade that accordingly. They dropped it down, I think, 2 points. But those are the numbers on the total points scored all day long on Thanksgiving, 139.5. And you like the over.
What do you do?
I wouldn't bet that. I like football team, actually. I think Washington is my favorite bet on Thanksgiving. I like +3. Dallas Cowboys suck, man. They're poorly coached. They can't defend. And they're favored really only because they're at home. That's really the only reason why. I think it's a coin flip game, and if that's the case, you give me 3 points with a team that I think should be dead even. I think football team is a pretty good bet tomorrow.
Who is America's football team now? It's not New England. It's not the Cowboys. Mm. If it was the Bears for 20 minutes, that was a long time ago.
America's football team. That's a really good question.
Saints?
I don't know. I don't know that America has a team anymore.
I don't think we have that sort of dial-it-in, all-star team that you love to root for or against.
For years, it was Pittsburgh. Then it was Dallas. It's not Chicago. It's not Green Bay.
Was it the Broncos maybe when Elway was quarterback?
I don't think America has a team anymore.
Yeah, okay. What about the Bears and Packers on Sunday night?
Are you ready? Mitch Trubisky, I think, is coming back.
Are you to do what?
Play quarterback.
Seriously? Starting at quarterback?
The game is off the board right now because PointsBet doesn't know who's starting. But remember, the last time we saw the quarterback known as Nick Foles, he was getting carted off the field.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be eligible to play.
So he was not available for the media on Monday at Halas Hall. They are practicing today at Halas Hall, so there may be breaking news in the final 20 minutes of our discussion here. But as of right now, all signs are pointing to Mitch Trubisky actually starting at quarterback on Sunday
night. That is a more interesting game to me than Foles.
Isn't it? Should be.
But it's funny because Trubisky's probably got a lot more reps then. I mean, not that Foles doesn't have any experience this year, but maybe you like Trubisky because he's had the whole bye week and some of this week to get ready for the game, and maybe Foles has not.
And Foles can't move in the pocket. So I think Trubisky, it's amazing how we want Trubisky to be benched, and then we watch Foles and go, oh,
At least Trubisky can run. And once in a while, he'd pull a pass out of his ear and he'd make it. So that was kind of fun. But if you said Trubisky a quarterback, I just think the human drama of that is more interesting than here come the lousy Bears again. I hope their defense holds them. That's all we have every week.
So the latest from Halas Hall was that Matt Nagy had a press conference the other day. He was not going to provide injury updates until Wednesday. That's today. But they can talk about who they saw at practice and who was not present. Mitch Trubisky was at practice, and Nick Foles was not at practice. So we're reading between the lines here. We're estimating, but from what I can gather and from the people in Vegas that I talked to, everybody's expecting Mitch Trubisky to start on Sunday in Green Bay. The line opened up Green Bay -7.5, so they're favored to win by 7.5 points. The game is now off the board. Some books in Vegas went to 8.5 or 9. Before pulling it down.
I guess that's what they do, but really, does the quarterback, one of those two, make that big of a difference? When they find out, how much would the thing swing? They're neither very promising QBs.
No, I don't think there's really much of a change one way or the other. I mean, before the season, you and I had discussed, you know, what is the difference? What is the drop-off? I had bookmakers say it's minimal or it's 1 point. I look at my PointsBet app right now. There is no line up on Chicago Green Bay. I imagine when we hear today from the Bears, that will go back up on the board. But because of the uncertainty, they don't know.
We earlier in the week asked, who would you like to see the next Bears quarterback be? That is the Bears quarterback for the next game, this weekend's game. You had three choices, Foles, Trubisky, or that little Santa Claus that used to ride the Norelco shaver through the snow and the commercials, and the Norelco shaver guy won.
Are you for real?
Oh, yeah. He got many people would much rather see the Norelco shaver behind the center for the Bears. So Green Bay, 7.5. Is Green Bay good? They're 7-3. If they're good, I like them. I like Green Bay in this game. I don't care who's quarterbacking for the Bears.
I would probably not bet the Chicago Bears in this spot. I will wait to see what the total is when it goes back up. Now, again, that's the total for combined points.
Yeah.
And you said before the season you didn't like the offense. And lo and behold, Squirrel found a nut. they played 10 games, seven unders, man. And in the last 31 football games, Chicago has gone under the total 22 times out of 31. It's just a bad offense, a very, very good defense, and questionable coaching. So usually that leads to lower scoring games, and that's certainly the case here.
The best team in Chicago, the Northwestern Wildcats. Let's talk a little bit about college football. Let's talk a little bit about games folks will be watching this weekend and tomorrow, and let's talk about your big bet of the week. That's next. Sam Panionovich is in our studio. This conversation is sponsored by PointsBet. You follow some of those non-sports bets, too, around the world where they bet on all kinds of crazy things, and sometimes it's politics. You talk to us every now and then about that before the election. I don't suppose there's much interest or action that way now that the election is over, huh?
Some books have settled. Some have refused to settle.
Oh, because of the fact that the election is not certified yet?
I guess. I still don't know what's going on with the election. I try and keep up. I listen to our news. I still am confused every day. Like, I don't know.
Oh, I can help you with that. Joe Biden got more votes.
No, I know all that. I'm saying since then, like everything that's happened since then.
So then the electors will then cast those ballots and then he'll be the next president. What else do you need to know?
That's it. You made it very simple for me.
What about that Purdue game? Speaking of the books not wanting to honor or honor a bet that they don't have to honor. I mean, talk about what happened between Purdue and Minnesota.
It's a very good question, and I'm glad you asked that because I wouldn't have put it on our notes. So it's ironic. I found out on Wednesday that the Purdue quarterback wasn't going to play, the starting quarterback. Now, that's pretty big news. Starting quarterback for a Big Ten team.
It's a Friday game.
It doesn't come out until 3 o'clock on Friday. So we have that information. And one of the picks on Chicken Dinner, the show that I do, the podcast, we picked Minnesota +2.5, knowing full well that the information was good on the quarterback. So it turns out on Friday afternoon, all right, Aiden O'Connell is not playing. And the line goes, and it shoots from Minnesota +2.5 to Minnesota -2.5. That's a 5-point move through the zero. Well, 2 hours before kickoff, oh, by the way, Minnesota's got 20 guys with COVID. And what does the line do then? Fume! Right back the other way. So right back where we started, the line went from -2.5 to +2.5, back to -2.5. And that's how this whole situation in college football has shook out.
At that point, when the kickoff goes, who was favored?
Minnesota was back to the underdog. But again, you have so many uncertainties. And this is why a lot of people that do this for a living, John,
yeah,
they're not betting college football this year. Because you're finding this stuff out
in the last minute,
literally an hour before the game. Dave Ennett's here. Dave, the game Wisconsin-Michigan. 30 minutes before kickoff, Michigan says, oh, by the way, Quiddy Pay, our best defensive player, is out. Mm-hmm. The other D end is out. And our left and right tackle are out. How could you bet this during the week not knowing who's going to play on Saturday? It's insanity.
Minnesota had, 20 players mm-hmm. out for the game against Purdue Friday night.
And it came out 2 hours before kick.
Yeah.
And by the way, Dave, any other breaking news? You just came in to say hello?
Sam invited me.
Oh, I'm glad that you're here. Sometimes he strolls in and he goes, guess what? The White Sox have a new coach or the Cubs have a new president or something like that.
I did that a couple weeks ago.
I was glad to see you.
It's been a busy week. But no, you brought up Northwestern, so they are now a perfect 5-0. And also, they are 5-0 to the under this year, which is a true testament to their defense. They are so good on that side of the ball. And in 5 straight football games, Vegas has continuously lowered their total in all these games. Last week against Wisconsin, the total was 42.5. And the final score was 17-7.
Have they been favored in every game?
No, not at all.
How about that?
This week, but they haven't been.
They're a big favorite. They're up to 13.5 at Michigan State.
Is that a lot? And that's 2 touchdowns against Michigan State.
Are you worried about a potential letdown?
You're always worried about that, aren't you? I don't think with this team, I don't sense it. I think that they're very focused, and I expect them to come out and play a good game Saturday.
Guys, let's go back to the Purdue game for a minute, though. So Purdue's playing Minnesota, and you had that swing. Yeah. Now the game starts and Purdue is favored by 2.5 points. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the game, and Dave and I talked about this earlier this week, the officials threw the flag on the offensive receiver who was in the end zone. Looks like he caught a game-winning touchdown with just like 30, 40 seconds left. But they say, no, there was offensive interference, so now that touchdown doesn't count. Purdue ends up not scoring. Purdue ends up losing the game. Even though everybody goes, no, Purdue won the game. So then what did some of these books do? What did FanDuel and PointsBet do?
Well, PointsBet refunded all the bets.
I am amazed at that.
So if you bet on Purdue, they call it the Good Karma Committee. And if something egregious happens like that or a big injury, actually last week when Klay Thompson from Golden State tore his Achilles, they refunded all the bets on Golden State to win the title.
Seriously.
And Golden State to win the conference. They call it Good Karma. And PointsBet is the only book that's doing stuff like that. But yeah, they gave back all the bets on Purdue. They called it the Good Karma Payout. Even though you lost, you got your money back.
Well, you didn't get your cash back, but you got credit.
It came back into your account. If you had a paper ticket, though, at Hawthorne or wherever, yeah, you refunded it and they gave you cash back.
Do horse tracks do this sort of thing? Hey, what do you know? The jockey wasn't feeling well or the horse had a bad day.
No.
In any part of the wagering world, does this happen?
No.
You go to Vegas and you go, well, I really meant black. It came up red. Come on, cut me some slack.
You could try.
I'm sorry. I'm still just pretty amazed by this.
Try with the IRS sometime.
I meant to pay.
Yeah.
Hey, here's 20. Are we good? No. No, it doesn't happen. Right. Is this good karma concept a new concept?
It's a points bet original idea.
Okay, and I wonder if it's because all of those places like points bet are just so competitive right now. They want to get your attention. And if, you know, I don't know who's going to be the last man standing, but I kind of like, say, a points bet if they're going to at least get me in their tent this way for now. I mean, I'm sort of insulated from the horrible call with points bet. They don't advertise that, but that's what they did in that case.
I don't, let's be clear, I don't think they're going to do this in the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to do this in the NBA Finals, right? They can do it on a one-off on a Friday night. If there's a massive handle on the game, like the Super Bowl, for example, in Nevada every year is at $150 million. If Patrick Mahomes throws a pick six in the Super Bowl in the final play, I don't think they're going to refund that because that is just so much money. On a Friday night game in the Big Ten, okay, you can swallow that, but you're not going to refund. I don't think they're going to refund. I won't speak for them. I doubt they're going to refund your bets on a big primetime Super Bowl type game. So there you have it.
I just didn't know that the world worked that way. And by the way, that's the way I want the world to work. Every now and then I want to say, that's why I want to be king someday. I would say, well, look, clearly the Purdue guy had a touchdown, so let's just give it to Purdue. I'll overstep the referees or the wagering.
Well, I asked Sam the question you asked me the other day about that call, about the call, and whether, in fact,
the
official is thinking about gambling.
I was wondering, well, some of our texters suggested that that's in the official's head. Wow, a lot of money was swinging on this flag.
It's certainly a possibility. I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, remember that referee Tim Donaghy in the NBA in the mid to late 2000s when it came out that he owed bookies X amount of money and he was purposely calling fouls to get games over the total. And so
really?
This team, yeah, oh yeah, he went to jail.
Okay, but I'm not even thinking that. I'm just thinking that it weighs in the mind, not because the official's corrupt, but because the pressure corrupts him. His thinking isn't as clear. Mm. His head isn't as straight on it.
I think if there's pressure on officials in any sport anymore, I think it is the different camera angles and the multiple replays and reviews. And you know if you miss a call, it's going to be shown over and over again to a worldwide audience.
Do you guys think the officials are actually pretty good? I mean, we're celebrating this one bad call, but I've seen some very close calls in the last couple of weeks, and I thought, dang, these guys get it right most of the time.
I think if you watch video reviews of plays in football, and you think, you watch it with the naked eye, and you think, oh, that's a terrible call, and then you can go back and watch it on tape, and he got it right.
The only one that's impossible to get is when there's, did he have possession of the ball as he and the ball are hitting the ground? And then is it a complete pass or not a complete pass? You know those ones. And on a replay, they're able to micro-analyze it. And I would almost rather them just defer to the officials on the field. If it looked like a catch, it's a catch, rather than taking all that time to analyze it in a way that no human being could ever do, you know?
Well, it has to be conclusive. So if there's still any doubt when they look at the replay,
that's true,
then it should be pretty clear.
And on top of that, all these officials are reviewed every single week.
Yeah.
Every
call they
make,
get graded.
Oh, really?
Everything they do. So if there's some shady business going on, they get lectured or they get, I don't know that people still get hit with rulers, but I imagine that could happen too.
I want to get to the bet of the week, but just let's finish with Northwestern.
Did you know they were 200-1 to win the Big Ten before the season? I'm sorry to scream at you, but 200-1. Now they're 7-1 at points bet.
So if I put $50 down,
you'd win, well,
$10,000 if they win the Big Ten. Are they going to win the Big Ten?
Are they going to win the Big Ten? They have to beat Ohio State to do that. I think the way the defense is playing right now, I think they have a better shot than they had when they faced Ohio State 2 years ago.
Definitely.
In the Big Ten championship.
Definitely.
And I think they're, overall, I think it's a better team than the team that won the West by 3 games 2 years ago.
1 minute left. What was the big bet of the week?
Well, actually, it wasn't a big bet. So there's this contest in Vegas called the Circa Million Survivor Pool. And heading into Sunday, survivors, you pick, you know, one team every week. There were 300 entries left out of 1,400. The first prize, $1.4 million.
Wow.
And this contestant had 3 entries, King John.
Yeah.
Overslept, missed the deadline. Did not get the picks in the $1 million contest. And SOL.
And would have won $1 million?
No, would have been alive, but he didn't even make a pick. He had three entries and didn't return any of them in the contest.
And how much did it cost to get into this?
$1,000.
Wow.
So that's three entries. That's $3,000. But your grand prize is $1.4 million. You have three entries. It's week 11. There's only 300 entries left, and you oversleep and don't get any of them in on time. So it wasn't a big bet of the week. I think it's the big regret of the week.
Sam's pick for this week.
I got football team tomorrow. That's the Washington football team plus the three. I think they're going to beat Dallas. And then on Friday, I like North Carolina. I'm going to put Notre Dame on upset alert. I'll take 5 points with the Tar Heels.
I like Notre Dame in that game. And let's just do the Bears-Packers, even though we don't know who the quarterback is.
I'll just take the under.
You're taking the under, and I will take the Grand Salami over. And we will leave it at that for this week.
All right, good luck tomorrow. I'm going to text you after the last game and see if you got there.
All weekend long, my phone goes bing. Brenda goes, is that Sam? I go, yeah, it's Sam.
She says that?
Yes, she does.
Wow.
She recognizes your ding.
Tell her I said hi.
Sam Panionovich, PointsBet. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Peace.